As we get started tonight, remember our last lesson is why is Bible study important tonight? How do we study the Bible? I want us to begin by looking at the result of Bible study or the purpose. As we've already read tonight in chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, and Alan has read that, you followed along. The result or the purpose of Bible study is so that we grow and we mature, so that we become accustomed to righteousness and that our senses are trained to discern good and evil. I want you also to notice from the passage we've already read that if we do not study the Bible or if we stop studying the Bible, that we become dull of hearing, that we need to start all over again with the elementary principles, and that we're not mature and that our senses are not trained. And so it's very important to our soul and our salvation that we are good Bible students of God's Word. Also, turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1, and I want us to notice this scripture very quickly. And I want us to notice, again, talking about the purpose or the result of Bible study. And beginning in verse 10 of Colossians 1, just jumping in the middle of what Paul's talking about here, middle of the sentence even. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit. When we study God's Word, we can bear fruit. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, here is the knowledge of God. Without Bible study, we do not have this knowledge of God. We do not know what God would have us to do in our lives. We do not know what God would have us to do as a church. And so when we have this knowledge, we can be fruitful in every good work. Verse 11, strengthened with power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness, and patience joyously. And so we have this strength, Paul says in Ephesians 3, in the inner man, to do as God would have us to do. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance and therefore saved. Growing to maturity as a child of God and saved. Now what is the process? Let's back up a little bit to verse 3 as Paul is speaking, is writing to these brethren. And I want you to notice the process. Let's read several verses, then I'm going to pull out certain things. Verses 3 through 9. I'm sorry I didn't correct the PowerPoint before tonight. Verses 3 through 9. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved brother, bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now let's pull out just a few things. What was the process? Verse 5. First of all, they heard. They heard the word of truth, that is, the gospel. And unless we hear the word of God, and we do that today primarily by reading the word of God and by listening to lessons, unless we hear the word of God, we cannot grow to this maturity that we're talking about. Now look at verse 7. Verse 7 is talking about how they got to the things in verse 6, so I'm going to bring it out first. Just as you learned it. They had to learn what it is that they read. You know, we can take and we can read something. I can take and I can read something that's rather complex, maybe in a field of study that I'm unfamiliar with, and I can read it and I can get through the words, but you know, we say it's in one ear and out the other. I mean, I don't understand one thing about what I'd read. So to come to this understanding, verse 6, that's at the end of the verse, heard it and understood. Well, what did they have to do between hearing and understanding, well, they had to learn something. And we're going to talk about learning in greater detail, Lord willing, the next lesson, or maybe the one after that. That God doesn't tell us how to learn. And we're different type of learners. We don't all learn the same way. And this is one of the values of going to school and getting an education. If you know how to learn, well, then you can read and understand about anything, especially with some help that you seek to do. And that's true with the Word of God. So we have to hear it, we have to learn it. Then verse 6, we already read, we have to understand it. And then verse 9, then it says that we know knowledge, near the end of verse 9, knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now turn over with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I know we've looked at this quite a bit lately. We've had a Bible drill on it a couple of Bible drills ago. But I want to point this out because this is very important with what we're talking about tonight. The knowledge in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 is epignosis. We've talked about that quite a bit. That's top knowledge, true knowledge. Now Peter gives us probably more information about this than anyone else. He tells us what benefit we have from it. He tells us the process of coming to that point in our life. And then he tells us what that has to do with our salvation. So I want to look at these verses very quickly tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Pull out a few things here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is epignosis we're talking about. Seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge, epignosis, of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these, what are we talking about? This knowledge. By these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers of the divine nature. And so get this. When we're Bible students and we come to this point of maturity, of true knowledge, spiritual wisdom and understanding, Colossians 1 verse 9, in the knowledge of God, then we become partakers of His divine nature. In other words, as God is, so we are as His children in that godliness and that righteousness and that spiritual life. Now let's review very quickly. We won't read, but look at your Bibles. Follow along. Look at the process. Look at the components that must be in our life so that we come to this point of maturity to partake of the divine nature of God. And he says, for this reason also, applying all diligence. Now, I want to stress this because Peter mentions diligence two times within this context, that we have to have these things and these we must be diligent. And verse 8, they must be increasing in our lives. Now, what are the components? To our faith, supply virtue or moral excellence. To our moral excellence, knowledge. To our knowledge, self-control. To our self-control, perseverance. To our perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. Now, so these are the components. We put all of these in our lives, and we've illustrated this a number of ways, like it's a spinning wheel, and they're all working together. We use the illustration of a snowball that we're growing and growing, and these things are multiplying in our lives. And then verse 8, for if these qualities are ours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful with what? In the true knowledge or epignosis of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but if we lack these things, we're short-sighted, blind. We've forgotten the purification of our sins. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So here is emphasized the importance of studying the Bible to come to the true knowledge with spiritual wisdom and understanding of the Word of God, applying these things to our lives, growing, partaking of the divine nature of God, And then we will not stumble, and the entrance into the divine kingdom of Jesus Christ is abundantly supplied. But what do we need to do? We need to study the Bible. It's so very important, isn't it? Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to emphasize here, as we look at the life of Paul, what do you think? Was study important to Paul? Or did he just have the Holy Spirit and God just poured all this stuff into his brain? He didn't have to do anything. It was just there. Or did he have to do some study? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Right before we read that, remember what Paul said. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that he had already attained, not that he was already perfect, but he was striving to lay hold of the prize. He forgot what was behind, reaching forward to what was ahead. And 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said he died daily. He was working every day to be a better Christian and be a better apostle. Now here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul is wanting Timothy to, as quickly as he can, to come and to visit with him while he is in prison. He says, verse 13, when you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Now, what did Paul want with the books and with the parchments? These would be the scrolls. And what was this that he wanted anyway? Well, there's many speculations. It could have been the scriptures. Could have been Old Testament scriptures. Could have been his writings, copies of his writings and his epistles, and also the epistles of others. And some of these books could have been some of the commentary of the day that were written on some of these things. He was very knowledgeable with what others had written about various other religions, so that he could talk to these individuals who believed these religions, and he could reason with them. We see his sermon on Mars Hill. How knowledgeable he was. So the point is tonight is that Paul was a studier. I think that's what it brings out to us. And certainly it would be logical to think that these very well could be scriptures. That he wanted to read scripture and he wanted to study scripture. Certainly we must say he was someone who wanted to read and wanted to study. This impresses upon us the importance for us to be people who study in our lives, and in particular, the Word of God. Now I want to talk about a few tips on studying the Bible. And we'll start this evening and we'll have for another lesson or two, some more of these tips. Then when we're done with this, we're going to go and we're going to look at some of the Bible study tools that we have to help us to do these things. Tip, the first tip, read the Bible. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Now this is something we may forget from time to time. But here is a command from God. Verse 13. He says, until I come, give attention, New American Standard says, to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Brethren, it is important that we read the Scriptures publicly. I'll say this, it is so important because it is a command from God. I'll go further than that. If we were to come together here as a church and we never read a scripture, we did not have a scripture reading, and whoever came up to teach would not read a scripture, but they would have all sorts of stories and could tell you all sorts of things. Brethren, it would be sin, because reading of the scriptures is commanded by God. That's how important that it is. Remember in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26, Jesus says, the wise man is this, one who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. We cannot act upon the words of Jesus Christ unless we hear, we get into the Bible, we read the Bible, then we can act upon them. Another scripture you're very familiar with, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How is it that we hear today? Somebody reads the Scripture. You can read it for yourself, or someone could read it in public. That is the hearing, and then the teaching that is associated with that. That's why I believe, and I know that I'm becoming like an old dinosaur, unfortunately, in some places, that it is important to read the Scriptures as we study together. There are many today, the idea is this, and I've had preachers suggest this to me. Say, Alan, you know what I do? We have computers, I just copy and paste right on my outline, and I don't even have to turn my Bible. I say, you know what else? Nobody else in the audience turns to the Bible either. I think it's important that we open the Bible. I think it's important that we read the Bible. Does that slow us down? Yes, in one way it could slow us down. But I tell you what's more important? Listening to me or reading and seeing what's in this book for yourself? It's more important than that you see it than that you just listen to me. I want you to look at something else. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. I want you to remember that the Apostle Paul commanded that his letters be read by other churches. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans and you. For your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 27. Verse 27. Now, Paul uses very strong language. Verse 27. He says, I adjure you. That this is paramount to putting them under oath before God. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. Now think about this just a moment. What do you think it would be like to have the letter of Paul read to you in the assembly? Say you're with one of these churches, Laodicea or some other one, and here someone comes with a letter that Paul has written it. And this is Scriptures, the Word of God. We don't have Bibles. You know, they've not been all put together yet. And so what would it be like? Would we all just sort of sit here lackadaisically, sort of half asleep? Well, would we be more like Israel when Ezra read the law and they stood up for half the day? And then there was given the understanding of what it meant. And at one point, people broke down and wept. You know, what's our attitude toward the reading of the Scriptures? How many times do you think the Scriptures would be read? How slow or how fast? How many days straight? How many times would they assemble? How many days in a row would they assemble? And how often would they have small meetings, small groups? Would they copy? Would they memorize? Would they scrutinize every detail? And how about today? What is our attitude today? You know, it's interesting to me. I love to read the early writings of Christians to get an idea of what it was like to be a Christian in the second century or the third century. What was it like to go to church back then? I'll tell you what it was like to go to church. When it came to the teaching part of the service, most of it was reading of Scripture. And then whoever was reading the Scripture or was directing the service would give some explanation and encourage the brethren to live that way, but the priority was on reading the Word of God. And today, unfortunately, in many places, what is the priority? Listening to stories and listening to jokes and all these sorts of things like this, and very, very little Scripture is included in lessons. Reading the Bible, very important for us individually. And think about what time do you spend? What part of your life reading the Bible, just reading the Word of God in whatever fashion you want to read it? What is that as part of your life? Also, I want to mention tip number 2 for tonight. And this goes to the next step beyond reading. And this gets down to examining. Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 17. And this is the account of Paul, and he'd gone from Thessalonica to Berea. Acts 17:11. And this comment is made, so now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now probably the thing that was going on was this. Paul was there, he was preaching. He was probably preaching and teaching every day. And it was very possible that these individuals, they would hear a lesson from Paul on today, and they would go home maybe way into the night, maybe way throughout all of the night, and they're searching the scriptures to see if what he said was the truth. Or maybe Paul is teaching way up into the night. They're up maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they are there examining those scriptures because you know what? Tomorrow, we're going to meet with Paul again. We're going to have another lesson. We're going to find out if these things are true. Examine, or your Bible may say search. Let me tell you what this means. It means to sift up and down, to make careful and exact research, as in a legal process, that of the scriptures. It's like that of a lawyer who is culling through the papers, who's trying to put every little detail of every little thing together to understand every minute detail. This is what they were doing. You see, this goes beyond just reading. Reading can be a sort of casual thing. They were examining, they were studying it like this. A man wanted to know the truth about salvation and baptism. He pulled out every scripture on the subject. He analyzed it in great detail. He examined every word. He studied every scripture in its immediate and greater context. Then he studied all the major doctrines on the topic and scrutinized them just to make sure he had not missed something. He examined the scriptures just as if it were a legal process. Then he obeyed the gospel. Notice in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 and following that because of that, verse 12, many of them believed. You see, when we scrutinize, when we get down to the Word of God and we are studying it in its greatest detail, the result of that is faith and increasing our faith also. Now, the upcoming lesson, after we're done with this one, it could have two or three parts. I'm not sure just yet. But we're going to go through the tools that we have to examine the scriptures, to break them down, and to study them in great detail. And that'll be another lesson coming up in the near future, Lord willing. Tip number 3, study with a teacher. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. You'll remember the story here that the Holy Spirit had sent Philip to the eunuch. And verses 30 and 31. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" Many times we need someone to guide us. And this guide can help in many, many ways. Help us think of some things maybe we have not thought about. Oftentimes when I'm studying with someone, especially someone who's not a Christian yet, and someone who really wants to know what the Bible says, this is someone who is examining the scriptures, and they are tearing into the scriptures. And boy, they come to Bible study and they have a page or two of scriptures. And then a lot of times what I'm doing, I'm just sort of guiding this person through the process. You know, have you thought about this over here? Have you thought about this verse over here? And they start thinking about these verses. And really, in essence, they're teaching themselves just with a little guidance to point out some things they hadn't quite got to yet or hadn't thought about yet. This can come in so many different ways. Study with a teacher. And you know, we have a lot of opportunities here. We have 2 Bible classes a week. We have 2 sermons a week. There's one-on-one Bible studies that are going on from time to time. Sometimes there's telephone Bible studies, email Bible studies, online Bible studies. No reason not to have a Bible study with a Bible teacher for anybody who wants to. That can be a really good thing to do. Study the Bible with a teacher. The 4th and the last one for tonight is repetition. You know, repetition is something from the Bible. We may forget that sometimes. And you know, repetition is the first principle of learning. That's what the educational experts tell us, and I think they're right with that. Flashcards, using flashcards. I mean, they're very helpful. Kids in school, and what do? We go to first grade or kindergarten or something. Immediately, what do? We hit those flashcards. And then some kids, even when they're in high school, they make up their own flashcards because they know, hey, this is a pretty good way. This is a pretty good way to learn. Well, and remember, advertisers know this, don't they? You know, to get your message across, to get your phone number out there, what you want it in the ad just as many times as you can get it. Now, if you need a lawyer, who are you going to call? 1-800-LAW-NEED. You need a lawyer? 1-800-LAW-NEED. You see, it's easy to remember things like that. Turn your Bibles over with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 15. I want us to understand that this is apostolic example. That this is the way that the apostles taught. And it's the way we need to teach also. And unfortunately, again, brethren, some places, they're unwilling to have this repetition. Oh, I heard that already. Oh, we studied that last year. Or, oh, we studied that 5 years ago. And so we want to go on to something else. We want to hear something different. The apostolic example is repetition. Verse 15, Romans 15, 15. But I have written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again. Paul had already reminded them, and he's reminding them again. We sing the song, the old, old story. Why is it the old, old story? Because we've been reminded of it over and over and over and over again. And we love that old, old story. We want to hear it more and more. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want us to notice here as Paul is writing, first we'll notice to Timothy and then to Titus. Paul is instructing them in their teaching to use repetition. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm sorry, I have it wrong on the PowerPoint. Remind them of these things. And so Paul is saying this. They've already been taught these things. That they already know these things. But you need to remind them of these things. Use repetition. And also Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Remind them. Again, these are things they already know. To be subject to rulers, authorities, to be obedient, etc. They know this already. But Paul says remind them of these things. Now let's also go over and look at the Apostle Peter. 2 Peter. And we're going to chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 12. Here's what Peter says. Near the end of his life. Therefore I will always be ready to remind you. What's he saying? He's saying I'm always to remind you. Well, what do you think? Well, did he remind them just maybe every once in a while? We might say maybe once in a blue moon? Or does it sound like he's always reminding people? He says, I'm always ready. I'm ready every moment of every day to remind you. It sounds like he was doing a lot of reminding. Repetition. Paul used repetition. Paul told evangelists to use repetition, reminding people. Peter, an apostle, was ready always to remind people. Brethren, to me this says we need a lot of repetition. We need to hear those old lessons once again. We need to hear them often. We have generations who are coming up who've not heard a lot of the lessons that need to be taught. I use that in an editorial we. Here we are teaching a lot of those old lessons over and over again. But in some places they're not being taught. Whole generations are growing up and they have not heard the first principles. They have not heard authority taught. They have not heard the work of the church taught. And what's going to happen is we're going to have young people come up, become deacons and then become elders, and they have not studied any of these lessons because brethren have not been reminding over and over and over these very basic lessons that need to be taught over and over again. Today, just like in the first century. As faithful brethren, we're happy to learn by repetition, to read and to study, to hear that old story again. We do need to be reminded, and we need to review, or we will forget. Those who don't know these lessons, they need to learn them. Repetition. Tips on how to study the Bible. The first four we've talked about tonight. Read the Bible. Examine the Scriptures. Study with a teacher. And use repetition. The lesson's yours, Lord willing, will continue the next part of this next time. If you'd like, you want to get your hymn book out. We are going to, was it 287, Dennis? 287. There's a fountain free. As we go to the Word of God and we study it, we come to an understanding of it, knowledge of it. We understand the plan of salvation. Very simple plan of salvation. What must we do to be a Christian? Simply believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of our sins. That's to change our minds, not to do the wrong, but to do the right. And because we change our mind, there's a change in our actions. But tonight, if you want to be a Christian, you need that commitment. We must demonstrate our faith, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must be immersed in water, be baptized for the remission of our sins. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. Hope you become one tonight. If you are a Christian, you've strayed from the truth. You know what to do. Correct, confess these things to the Lord, pray for forgiveness. And you know the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you once again. If we help you at all tonight, won't you come to the front now as we stand and sing.